Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. We should greet one another. This is Pentecost Sunday, and the Holy Spirit came to us. So if you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, introduce yourselves. Yeah, between you two. Yeah. What a beautiful day. Nice soft rain. Sprinkle showers of blessings upon us. The day the Holy Spirit came down, the Lutherans have an understanding that Lutherans don't do a good job talking about the Holy Spirit. We know God the Father, Creator, the great mystery, the one who's in charge, the all-powerful. We understand a bit about the Father. The Son, we understand, God becoming human, because we couldn't handle it on our own. God needed to do something, so we became human in the person of Jesus. This Holy Spirit, I don't think we do a good job understanding. Martin Luther, way back when, in the Small Catechism, in his explanation of what the Holy Spirit was, he said something like this: I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. That means by ourselves we can't understand it. It's the Holy Spirit that... The only reason we know who God is by the Holy Spirit. The only reason we come to church on Sunday mornings is by the Holy Spirit. Something drives inside of us this essence of God that brings us to this place on these mornings. I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with His gift, and sanctified and kept me in true faith. The Holy Spirit is the reason we gather on Sunday mornings. It's the reason we say our prayers. It's what drives us to find meaning and purpose. It's the Holy Spirit. So if anyone ever asks you, are you born again? You got the Holy Spirit, you're born again. Okay? We're all born again. That means the Holy Spirit is alive in us. And you know what that means? Does everybody know Lee Krieger? Lee Krieger was on the call committee when I was here. You didn't even ask me about the Holy Spirit. You just asked if we could sing Christmas songs during Advent. Anyway, I am glad we have the Holy Spirit, because that's what softens us up and that's what drives us to trust in God our Creator. And this is the birthday of the church, where the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in tongues of fire. Even tongues of fire we don't understand. It comes down like a dove. We don't understand. I don't understand how this happens, but they had to paint pictures so we could figure it out. But the Holy Spirit is what brings us here. So I'm glad the Spirit is alive in each one of you. This week, lots of things are happening. Golf starts tomorrow. Jim, you going to come? No, it's going to rain. Okay. I'm fishing. Yeah, okay. Ditch cleaning on Thursday. Memory garden being planted on Wednesday. Veggie stand is open next Saturday if you gals have plants and things like that that you'd like to share with the public. About what, 8:30, 9 o'clock, Aileen?
They start coming at 7:30.
They start coming at 7:30. Okay, so I'll get up a little earlier if you're coming at 8:30. Anyway, lots of things happening. Our whole summer schedule begins. Nice to see all our snowbirds back. I think there's only one or two couples I haven't seen. So we're back to normal. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of your Spirit that lives in each one of us. We pray that that Spirit might stir in our hearts today, that we can be awakened to your love and to your joy and to your peace and hope. And so as we gather around your holy table and are nourished by the bread and the wine, awaken in us your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Blessed Assurance. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us confess our unwillingness to follow. God, we confess we hear the call, but choose not to follow. We pick roads which lead to anxiety and despair. We walk paths of darkness and sorrow. We run from your beckoning love. God, we come and worship today, asking for a new beginning. We want to be cleansed and made right. We desire direction and purpose for our living. We need our sins forgiven. We want to follow you. God's eternal love for us calls us to a new life today. God has provided the complete plan for our life. Jesus' death on the cross has paid the price for our sinful condition, breaking us free to be true believers. Jesus calls us to take up his cross and follow him. Through the Holy Spirit, we are given the power to respond to that call, the power to change direction, the power to make new and different choices, and the power to live life as God intended. Today, we can truly celebrate following Jesus. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, our Creator, the resurrection of your Son offers life to all the peoples of earth. By your Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of your love, empowering our lives for service and our tongues for praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, Choir. Thank you, Darwin. The first reading for today comes from the book of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here ends the first reading. Our psalm today is Psalm 104. Where you see the bold print, please respond, and where you see a bold R, please read the refrain. "How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All that know to you, given them their food in due season. Send forth your spirit, and renew the face of the earth.
You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth.
May the Lord, the Lord, endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works. Send forth your spirit, and renew the face of the earth.
You look at the earth, and it trembles. You touch the mountains, and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God.
May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, my soul. Hallelujah. Send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this Pentecost Sunday is found in the 14th chapter of St. John, beginning with the 8th verse. Though the disciples struggle with Jesus' nature and identity, they receive the promise that they too will be identified with God and God's mission. Though he must leave them now, Jesus promises the coming of the Advocate, whom God will send to comfort and enlighten them. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing. We're going to change up this sermon hymn. Let's sing 396 in your blue books. Spirit of Gentleness. Yeah, 684 in your blue books, yeah. 396 in the red books. 684. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, you sound good today. The Spirit is living in each one of you. I see some of you guys just sit there and don't sing, however. Thank you for that. Why am I looking at you, Roy? Pentecost Sunday. Remember in my last parish, we had a pretty big Sunday school, and one of the second or third grade classes had memorized the Apostles' Creed, and each one took a little part like they do in Christmas, you know. So first little boy said, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And the second little girl said, "I believe in Jesus Christ," and on and on and on until one little girl said, "And he ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then she shall come to judge the living and the dead." They hadn't called me into this, and they were repeating each little kid. And then there was just silence as they sat on their little chairs. And no one said anything. And finally, one little girl said, "The boy who believes in the Holy Spirit is absent today." Welcome to the celebration of Pentecost, where the Spirit of God comes to us. It descends upon us. It lives in us and breathes in us and gives us life. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian or Catholic Church. Small C, by the way, means universal body of believers. Big C probably means the Roman Catholic Church. Still brothers and sisters in Christ, but small C means all body of believers. That includes Baptists and Episcopals and E-Freers and Lutherans even, Methodists even. I was reading The Week magazine, and there was a British newspaper columnist named Bernard Levine who wrote an op-ed piece that I cut out and dug up in my archives that really speaks to me about what the Holy Spirit does. He said, "Countries like ours are full of people." He's writing about Britain now, huh? "Countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire, together with such non-material blessings as a happy family, and yet lead lives of quiet desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there is a hole inside of them that however much food and drink they pour into it, however many motor cars and television sets they stuff into it, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edge of it, it aches." You know what he's talking about? Do you ever have that ache in the center of your life, that emptiness, that hole, that void that needs filling? Deepak Chopra, popular writer, dispenser of New Age wisdom, recently said something almost the same thing. This is what he said. He says, "There seems to be a hole in the middle of everyday life, as if a rock had been thrown through a plate glass window. But instead of a physical hole, one could call this a meaning hole." You ever have moments like that where your life is empty, where you wonder what you're supposed to be doing? You wonder, what's it all about? What's it all about, Alfie? I knew you were going to think of that. It's nice having you back, Lee. Does that describe your life? Do you ever have moments like that of emptiness, a meaning hole? That's what the Holy Spirit is about. It's about filling that void, that hole in our lives. If that ever happens to you, invite the Holy Spirit to stir up and to give you some place to go, something to do. Holy Spirit is about filling the void. So we have these disciples on the day of Pentecost. They're all Jewish. They're celebrating the Pentecost. Pentecost in those days in the Jewish tradition was the day that Moses received the Ten Commandments. And so our Jewish brothers and sisters set aside a day to remember that special day where they got the Ten Commandments. So it's a feast day, a giving of God's law to his people through Moses. And for Christians, Pentecost became a celebration of the gift of God's Holy Spirit to us. And so we have this story about Just before Jesus' ascension, Jesus tells his disciples, like in our gospel lesson, that you go wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit to come. And they probably didn't have a clue as to what's happening. I mean, you and I could have been these disciples. Jesus says, you wait until the Spirit comes. So they go and wait. They didn't have a clue, I don't think. After all, they'd already watched him come back from the dead. Yeah, they had watched him do all these miracles. Yeah. And they trusted his lordship. So when he says, wait, okay, I guess we'll go wait. So they're waiting on this day of Pentecost. 50 days after Christ's resurrection, the city is full of people that day who'd come to celebrate this festival. Jesus hadn't told the disciples exactly how the Spirit would come. But the scripture says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Probably they were there simply because they were good Jews and they were celebrating this Jewish event. And suddenly, however, a mighty blowing wind comes, stirs in their house. The whole house is shaken. And then they see what seems to be tongues of fire that last lands on their heads. What's that all about? I mean, I can't figure it out, but that's what they saw. And it could happen here. And then they start speaking all these foreign languages. Other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, the scriptures say. That'd be like me starting to speak Finnish. Ronnie, you're the only one, and maybe you, you two Finlanders sitting together might understand it. Or you'd start speaking Swedish or Norwegians. I mean, no, you never spoke it before, and now it just comes out of you, and you know everything that's going on. That's what happens to the disciples. They hadn't studied these languages, and they start speaking in these different languages. And then they go out into the streets, and all these people from foreign lands start hearing their original language spoken, you know, just like it's old home week. And they say, what? These are Galileans. These are all fishermen. You guys are all fishermen. How can you speak their language? You haven't studied it. What's going on here? And someone says, they've been hitting the hooch. They've been hitting that new wine. Peter says, hey, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning, boys. We wait until 5. It's 5 somewhere. I've heard you guys say that. Don't think you haven't. What are you laughing about, Jim? No wonder thousands of them decided to follow the gospel message. I mean, they hear, they see this miracle, they hear the story of Jesus in their own language. They see these Galileans, these fishermen, changed. And there's something happening. And some make fun of them, and they make fun of us Christians too, which is okay. But we know we have the peace of God in our hearts. We have that hole, that empty hole filled with His Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us make sense out of our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us catch glimpses of God at work in the world. I was never so proud of this congregation as I was yesterday when you helped Dave and his family. That's the Holy Spirit that's working. And you guys check out other people. That's the Holy Spirit that's working. You help each other down the road. You listen and you pat each other on the back and you work together and you do it. And that's the Holy Spirit of God that's working. You know, there's parts of the world that have no glimpse of what the church does. And they're in this all alone, fighting on their own, trying to make it on their own. And they don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit, how it brings people together and softens our hearts and reaches out and cares and loves regardless of who you are. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes and he tells the disciples, you're going to have an advocate. You're going to have this Spirit that's going to be with you, and you will do greater works in your life than I did while I was here. But then we read the newspaper or listen to the news, and all this stuff happens, and life becomes very confusing, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. And then some days we don't have very good days. We think everything's going to work out, and then all of a sudden we get that phone call out of the blue, and our world is turned upside down. That happens to you, and it happens
to me, and we go to the Bible and we try to get some guidance for our life, and sometimes it's like the Bible's still written in Greek and the words are confusing and we have difficulty concentrating and wonder what it's all about. And even when we're able to understand all the words, it's still difficult to conceive. This is what I do. I finally say a prayer. I said, "Lord, what is it you're trying to say to me?" And every once in a while, it's like God whispering in my ear and says, "This is what I want. This is what I want you to do. I want you to help someone, or I want you to make a phone call, or I want you to make a visit, or I want you to give a little positive feedback, or I want you to take some leadership role here." That for the Christian is the task of the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit working in us. It's God whispering to us, giving us comfort and giving us encouragement and helping us make some sense of our lives. As Paul writes in Romans, he says, "I'm the Spirit of God testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." If we are children of God, we are loved. You are loved. You are loved just as you are, and loved so much and cared for so much by the Creator. And that's what His Spirit tries to remind us of. We're okay. You're okay, Darwin. God loves you, and I love you, and we love you. And no matter what the world throws your way, you're okay. You know? And you got a lot of people pulling for you. And that's the same with everyone here. That's the same with everyone here. And I hope that's the same for those folks who don't believe, that we will love them like God loves them. Those ones who haven't found their way to church or haven't opened their hearts to the Spirit, maybe that's what the Spirit is moving us to do, to reach out and to love them. Those disciples, those fishermen, they spoke in languages and they spoke of the love of God. And people said, "Oh man, maybe there's something to it." And maybe that's what the 21st century church needs to do. I like the way Corrie Ten Boom described the work of the Holy Spirit. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch Christian whose family assisted the Jews during Hitler's reign in World War II. Corrie Ten Boom and her family ended up in one of those Nazi concentration camps. But she managed to survive, and she later became a Christian author and speaker because she was so obviously filled with the Spirit of God. This is what she said to one of her audience. She says, "I have a glove here in my hand. The glove cannot do anything by itself, but when my hand is in it, it can do many things. True, it's not the glove, but my hand in the glove that acts." Then she looked at the audience and she said, "We are gloves. It is the Holy Spirit in us who is the hand, who does the job. We have to make room for the hand so that every finger is filled." And that's our main task. If we want to do anything great for God, we have to be the glove, and we have to let the Holy Spirit fill every part of us so that we can help others down the road, that we can help others understand God has a purpose for their life. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to accomplish anything God puts before us. All of this Pentecost Sunday coming of the Holy Spirit means to say we believe in the Holy Spirit. It's God's attempt to fill the holes in our lives. That's what the Spirit does. Fills the hole in our lives. It gives meaning and purpose to our lives. It's God helping us make sense of our lives and helps us to understand God's purpose for each one of us. It's God giving us the power to accomplish what God has called each one of us to do. It's His Spirit at work in us. And it's God working in our lives, all of our lives, helping us to become what God has created us to be. I pray that the gift of the Holy Spirit is with each one of you today. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need.
Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Filled with the promised Holy Spirit, let us pray in confidence for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Pour out your Spirit upon the church, that we may be filled with the proclamation of your grace for the sake of the whole world. Hear us, O God. Pour out your Spirit upon the earth to renew the face of the ground, that all may be fed and nourished by the abundant resources you provide for all your people. Hear us, O God. Pour out your Spirit upon the nations, that leaders, judges, and peacekeepers may stand against oppression and seek peace throughout the world. Hear us, O God. Pour out your Spirit upon those who suffer, that they may know healing, hope, and joy. We especially remember in our prayers Ron Hess, Mary England, Ivan Peterson, Keith Mundinger, Bob Vorlachek, Darwin Brieswitz, and all those others who we name in our hearts before you. Hear us, O God. Pour out your Spirit upon this congregation, that we may keep your commandments and reveal your grace through ministries that serve this community and the world. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit. We pray your Spirit through us may comfort Dave Groth and his family as he mourns the loss of Joanne. We pray your Spirit might watch over all high school graduates throughout this land. Allow them to make good choices these days and keep them safe. Especially remember our grads in this church, Lyle and Ronisha. Keep them in your loving care. And Heavenly Father, today we especially ask that you might watch our children and our grandchildren. Keep them safe. Pour out your Spirit upon all who mourn, that your promise of everlasting life and peace make our hearts sing even in the face of death. Hear us, O God. In resurrection hope, we commend to you all for whom we pray, trusting in the promise of new life through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Let's join together in confessing our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand. Living in the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And so the Spirit of God travels through the eons of time to today, to this moment, where Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
All are invited to join us at the table of our Lord. If you would like gluten-free wafers, please let the servers know, and we'll serve you that. Of course, we have in our
chalices, wine, and grape juice. Table is set. Come eat and drink. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Life-giving God,
in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people.
Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection,
that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ our risen Lord. Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on.